Well, hello, everyone. This is Class 4 of Infallible Health with Gina Gabellini and David DeFrancesco.
We wanted to talk about today, Gina and I, was about what kind of rules you have with regards to certain aspects of what we've been talking about regarding things like food, medication, your sleep, exercise, disease. So what kind of ideas, what kind of pre-thoughts do you have you already determined as to thinking about different aspects of that? And then we also want to take it up and see which one of those work for you, but which ones keep you in fear and guilt. And those are the ones that we want to encourage you to think about letting go of. Let's talk about, for instance, food. What kind of rules have you put together regarding food?
Oh, I mean, there are millions of rules, you know, like this is going to make me fat, that is not good for me. Actually, like the past week, I felt like having some ice cream, not a whole thing, just some ice cream. Mm-hmm. And it was a huge challenge to enjoy it and just tell myself it's okay and it's not going to do anything to me. Mm-hmm. It was a challenge to really eat and enjoy it.
You had to kind of sit there and keep convincing yourself?
Yeah. It's like, it's okay. I mean, I'm not eating a whole thing. It's okay. I can have it.
Is it that it's the ice cream itself that you feel is bad? Or
no,
is it the idea that you enjoy it?
There's so many things in my head, you know, for over years. You know, this is not good for me. I cannot have that. That's going to make me fat. That's going to make me fat. If I want to lose weight, I'm not supposed to eat this. It's just a million of rules.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this. When these things come up for you, do you feel they're, for you now, we're talking about, for you specifically, do you feel they're accurate? Or do you think they may not be true?
Right now, it's like things are changing. And for me, it's like, hey, okay, I can have some ice cream if I want to. It doesn't mean that I'm eating ice cream every day or a whole thing of it, but it's okay to have some, and I can enjoy that. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm really trying to change things mm-hmm. and not feeling guilty.
Well, you touched on a subject that we're going to be going into in this class, and that's talking about triggers and how to diffuse some of these thoughts and some of these fears. So have you kind of constructed a rule, or is it that you put categorized things? This is the good column and this is the bad column.
Yeah, categorized. I think it's categorized, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gotcha. Now, when you mentally look down these categories, do you think for yourself that it's accurate, or do you think you hold out the possibility that it may not be that way?
I'm sure there is good food for me, which is really good for my body, and definitely there is some food which is just not as good, probably, you know? I don't know. Is it true?
Well,
That's true.
And coming in about another week or so, we're going to be talking about intuitive eating, and we're going to be touching on, you know, getting in touch with the feelings with regards to the foods that you feel work for you or not. But going to the subject of the ice cream, is it possible that ice cream works for you? In other words, can you be okay with ice cream?
I never was. Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to make sure that if I have ice cream once in a while that I do not feel bad with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to learn that it's okay. I can even enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. When you were a kid, did you eat ice cream?
Yeah, but even then, you know, people were looking at me. You're too fat. You should not eat ice cream. That's going to make you fatter.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, so it was some of the rules that you're hearing from other people too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself doing similar things with regards to exercise and sleep and all the other
exercise,
aspects?
I mean, like exercise just makes me feel great. I mean, that's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I really enjoy, and it makes me feel great. And with sleep, it just, for me, it always feels I never get enough sleep. It's very simple.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what's the new rule? Sometimes there needs to be an in-between rule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I talked about before how I used to be a maniac with, you know, checking labels on the backs of food because I was a label checker and I wanted to make sure that it had the right proportion of fat for the calorie contents and what was, you know, just really my rule was you got to check everything out. Mm-hmm. And rather than the new rule being, okay, I can eat whatever I want, it seemed like that was too far of a stretch for me. My new rule is that I don't need to check all the labels. I can still choose foods that I think are good for me. I couldn't let go of, okay, you can eat fat. So I became less rigid, though, about reading labels. So there was that in-between place for me to bridge the gap. So I'm wondering if there's a place between it's bad for me and it's good for me. Is there something in between?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's okay if it stays with a certain amount. I mean, it's okay to have ice cream, I'd say, once a week. A bowl of ice cream once a week.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And does that feel that there's enough permission there, or is that good enough?
Maybe I don't even need it once a week. It's even okay once a month.
Well, once a week's good. I just wondered if you wanted to eat it more than that.
No, not at all. No.
Okay.
That's okay.
So new rule, transition rule would be once a week is fine.
Yeah.
So will you allow yourself, like David said, to enjoy the ice cream just that once a week when you do it, that you will actually choose to surrender into enjoyment?
Yeah.
How does that feel?
Like a challenge.
But it feels good.
Yeah.
So you'll have to make sure you do it every week so you can practice.
Yeah, I will. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if there's an image you can create. I just keep imagining that there's a fairy godmother saying, really, enjoy it. You know, you can get this visual of somebody actually giving you permission so that you can set aside all the gremlins.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds awfully hard to self-manage something you enjoy so much, and it's when you want to create a new habit, to have to work so hard at convincing yourself the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so something with, I don't know, a fun picture, or I don't know. Yep.
Yeah.
Or even imagining a little kid, because every time I see little kids with ice cream, it makes me smile.
Yeah.
You know, I think, oh, my gosh, how cute. And they usually have it all over their face, and it's dripping down the sides of their hand when they get cones. And they're just having such a good time with it. Most kids love ice cream, and they enjoy the heck out of it. And they may say they want 3 scoops, and if you gave them 3 scoops, they can't even finish one. But, boy, do they enjoy it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
While we're kind of touching on this, if I might, let's talk a little bit about those thoughts that created those rules and kind of what's going on with regards to where you're at currently. And everyone who's listening to this call has a current perception and a current belief based on where you're at right now, physically, health-wise, and appearance-wise. And one of the things that Gina and I are going to touch on, I'm going to turn this over to her in a second, is being okay without judgment and without a negative belief around where you're at right now, non-judgmental.
And part of it is to come back to just accepting the fact that you're in transition. And no matter what we think is bad, we can look at our bodies and go, whether it's we're overweight or it could be, you know, I'll keep going back to this because it was so big in my life just a few weeks ago was when I had poison oak, which is, oh, shame on me for getting this. I can't believe it. This isn't okay that I have this. Oh, my gosh, look at my ankle. And, of course, every time I made up something bad to go along with what I was witnessing, too. Many times we do that. If it's something other than being overweight, if we have some sort of health condition, we also make up, if it's not going away, that something else bad is happening, especially if we haven't been to a doctor or diagnosed. We tend to self-diagnose and make up all the worst stuff possible. You know, how many times do people feel a lump somewhere, they see something odd in their body, and the first thing they assume is the worst is cancer, and I'm going to die. You know, we automatically just go there rather than, okay, so this is where I'm at right now. What do I want to do about this? See, here's the kind of kicker about it. You can absolutely turn something around fast, and sometimes within hours. And it could be something that you've had for forever, or it could be something that's just current. When you shift your thinking about it, and sometimes the thought only has to be that you stop resisting where you're at. And so for me, what ended up clearing up the poison oak for me was letting go of some thoughts that had actually nothing to do with poison oak, although it was the same thought form, which is I got to figure some stuff out in my life. But I was also trying to do the same thing with the poison oak condition. I got to figure out how to get rid of this. I'm going to try this method, this medication, and I'm going to do these essential oils, and I am fighting. You know, people say I'm fighting for my life. That's what we do with our health, even if we don't feel that it's going to kill us. We start fighting against it. How can we squash this thing? And in that pushing against, what you're actually doing is, first of all, it doesn't feel good to push against anything. It's like my boyfriend always says when we kiss and make up from a fight, he goes, now just isn't it better? Doesn't it just feel good to hug rather than fight? And I said, well, of course. Of course that feels better. So one, it will just feel better to not be fighting yourself in the condition. And we were talking about the ice cream. It sounded like it was going to be a fight with your gremlin to eat the ice cream.
And yeah.
That's still too much trouble, even if it's, you know, you're practicing something. It's like, well, that's a lot of effort to be in a fight the whole time. You don't get to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, when we're fighting, we actually keep the condition there. We can't move off of it because we're so busy fighting it, can't move past it. Like a keto. In a keto, you know, the whole movement isn't about necessarily taking someone down by force. It's literally guiding the other person, the opponent's body past us. We step out of the way. And then that person almost like falls on their face without us doing anything because we step out of the way. And it's the same thing in how we're dealing with our health. If we step out of the way, our body can actually do what it's supposed to do. In fact, in this birthing class I'm taking right now, they have a great example. They go on and on and on about showing how the muscles work in the uterus. And they say, you know, every muscle in the body, opposite effect. So, like, our biceps pull one way, our triceps make our arm go the other way. Well, the uterus is the same. It literally knows how to push a baby out. But what happens for most women is they anticipate that birthing is going to be hard. They've heard bad things about it. And they're sometimes nervous about it. So they anticipate the stress of, you know, making this happen, and their body tenses up. Mm-hmm. And when your body's tensed, it cannot do its job easily and effortlessly. Now it becomes work, and now there's pain involved. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do when we're trying to lose weight or anything else. When we're resisting the process, we actually stop our body from working the way it's supposed to. In fact, David and I were talking, I think it was yesterday, we were talking about how when you relax, the body just knows what to do. And he says, absolutely, it's always in complete and perfect balance. The body always knows what to do. We just get in the way. Mm-hmm. So getting out of the way is surrendering to its current state. And part of how you can do that, and we talked a little bit about this before, is not lying to yourself saying, well, I'm looking in the mirror or I'm feeling my body right now and it just feels fine when it actually doesn't. Or you look in the mirror and you think, this is really not the way that I want to look. But what you can do is say, okay, body, this is where we're at. This is just where we're at right now, and this is okay because we're moving somewhere else. You definitely don't want to lie to yourself about it. That will actually cause more resistance. It's very hard to look in the mirror if you're overweight and say, oh, you look hot and sexy. Some people can do it, but it's a challenge for most if they're not feeling that way truly. And it's very hard when you're feeling physical pain to deny that there's physical pain. The fastest way through anything, whether it's something physical or emotional, is to be with it. I mean, any coach or if you've been in any personal growth seminar, it's the thing they say, the fastest way through something is to stop resisting. And that's what our request is.
Right. Beautifully, beautifully said, Gina. I think one of the biggest challenges that we have when we think of ourselves in our current states is we tend to have a habit of comparison, and I think that is where the unhappiness comes from. We compare either to some sort of ideal that we have convinced ourselves that we should be. Sometimes we are unhappy if we just even just compare ourselves to where we are now to perhaps where we've been in the past. But at some point, that unhappiness is coming from being outside of the present moment. And rarely can you honestly be able to look at yourself in the mirror and be in a situation that isn't, in truth, physically, safe and known and comfortable. And that moment is the place to be at when you are looking at accepting yourself where you are and being open to the idea of continued improvement. I think we have a habit of looking at our lives as something static. We get ourselves into the ideal shape and we just like throw out the anchor and just kind of just stay right there. And when I think when we look at ourselves as we are
and we look at ourselves as we like to see ourselves transition to. I think we should be open to the idea that really life, our bodies, our experiences are always in transition. We're never at a static stopping point. We're always moving, always growing, always with the potential of living more fully who we wish to be. And I think when you incorporate that into the idea of being okay with yourself, I think you can also incorporate a bit of being okay with the transition part as well.
So where would you say that you're at currently with your state of being around health? Are you in resistance? Are you sold on the idea that you're in transition and you will get to where you want? Where are you at?
I think I'm at the point right now where I accept where I am, and I accept what I see in the mirror. Yep.
So would you say that you're neutral about your current state?
Actually, I'm really excited because I just feel that I'll get what I want to get to.
Oh, good.
And that is pretty new to me. Yeah, there's already, you know, I can wear a size smaller jeans already, and it's like, it just feels like, hey, you can make it. It's okay. It's really okay. I mean, I think, yeah, it's okay.
Excellent. Great place to be in.
Even with ice cream. Isn't that awesome?
Even with ice cream, Steve.
that is beautiful. And that is a perfect place because that is where your power is. That is where you have the ability to really experience so many wonderful things.
Yeah, that's the strange thing. I feel that power. I feel it. That's new.
It almost feels timeless, doesn't it?
Huh?
It feels timeless, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So in that would be to, as you're moving along, choosing the path, you know, looking at your rules around food and how you exercise and all the avenue, the action steps of getting there. Because, by the way, we've made up all the action steps. Like David mm-hmm. said, they may not even have been your rules in the beginning. You just adopted them from somebody else. And sometimes we just adopt them from the craziest places, the places that have no credence at all. Even when you're working with, like, let's say you sit down for your ice cream. You're like, okay, you know, I give myself full permission. And then you find out that you're battling with the gremlin. You want to surrender into that too so that you're not even, you don't even have to be perfect in the beingness, that you're still in practice while doing that. So if you find you go, oh, I'm beating myself up. Oh, that's bad too. No, that's okay. It's okay. I'm in progress with even my thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So everything, there's just permission everywhere that you just keep practicing. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Doing my best. And I don't have to be perfect at any of this because if I'm really clear on where I want to go, I'm going to get there no matter what. It has nothing to do with the action steps. It's just how we feel about the action steps.
Right.
David, do you want to say more?
I do. There's actually a that bears this out from a science standpoint about what's actually going on in your head. It's called neuroplasticity. And understand, it goes back to what we were just talking about earlier and what Gina said so beautifully about being okay with the process and kind of the steps. You know, you have to kind of don't beat yourself up if you're not there immediately. Kind of allow yourself the process to grow. Because literally what's happened is up to this point, your mind, your thoughts, your emotions have all wired themselves into a specific structure that supports where you're at right now. Now you're trying to make some emotion, literally make some changes, how you think about yourself, how you feel about things, and that requires basically new pipelines, new wiring. And literally what starts to happen is your mind, your brain, starts creating new synaptic connections that reinforce the new thoughts, feelings, and emotions that you wish to have. Meanwhile, though, the other ones are still wired up. And they don't like to be ignored. And then every so often, you know, they're going to let themselves be known. So you're going to feel like there's this back and forth a little bit. And the important place to be is just to reinforce those new thoughts and those more supportive feelings and emotions. Those bonds will get stronger. Eventually, the neurons and the nerve cells, actually, that created those old pathways will slowly start to release and actually move to the news sites that are firing up and active, so that you will find over time less of the old stuff rearing up, and you feel more automatically thinking along the, and feeling along the new ways that you wish to feel. That process takes a little bit of time, but it just takes a little bit of effort just to, again, to reinforce the thoughts and the emotions that you wish to feel. And understand that, you know, sometimes the old thoughts are going to raise their hand and kind of demand their attention a little bit. And again, being okay with that, understanding that it's not like you're failing or anything's going wrong. It's just the natural process of things. And just find that new spot. Just like you described, you feel this excitement, this being is new for you, and that's wonderful. And that's the place to be. Mm-hmm. And just understand that sometimes some of the old stuff might pop up every once in a while, and that's okay. You just kind of, actually, if you want, kind of stand there as an observer, kind of just saying, oh, okay. It's like the child saying, look at me, look at me. You're not paying attention. Yeah. And it's okay, you know, just, again, find a moment, catch a breath, find, again, back to the feelings you wish to have, and you'll find over time those sorts of things occur less and less and less strongly as your brain literally rewires itself. The other thing to know is, memories are recorded and strengthened with emotions. Basically, your memories are sealed with strong emotions so that emotions can actually activate and stimulate memories. If you've ever, it's funny, if you ever talk to a guy and, you know, you ask them to remember something, and we're very fact-based. So, you know, do you remember what happened today? Yeah, we got up, we got in the car, we drove such and such, we did such and such, came back, you know, very much da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. For women who generally tend to memorize experiences with emotions, you'll find, oh, I woke up, I felt refreshed, I felt, you know, or tired or whatever, we got up, you seemed angry or tired or, you know, in other words, there's like memory or emotional markers attached with the memories. Know that when you are thinking old thoughts or creating new ones, emotions are going to come up. Old emotions perhaps might be coming up based on the memories that are being triggered. So again, what the best work around that is literally rewiring your brain when you are recreating new memories, memories of this moment, attach good emotions with it, feelings of bliss, feelings of happiness, feeling excitement, whatever works, whatever emotions are the strongest for you at that moment. If you remember those moments with those feelings, it will help with the triggers in the future.
Mm-hmm. So what did you get out of all that?
The feelings, you know, it's like, to the thoughts and old stuff, I mean, there are really strong old emotions with me. And so that will come up. But if you start taking your new way of how I believe about myself, what I think of myself, that it's really that I have, like, really good emotions with it, that I feel great about it.
We're all little addicts about something. And addicts meaning we resort to that same thing that we always do. And so really having that tenacity, not that you have to be bold and mean with yourself, but when we're giving up an addiction, it's about being conscious as we move through everything rather than doing the same old thing is going to be key. Like, for instance, I had been working with a coach, this was many years ago, when I was just overeating all the time, and then my focus was, okay, don't eat so much and only eat when you're hungry. When I would go to the refrigerator to eat, even though I wasn't hungry, all I would actually do is beat myself up. Don't do this. Why are you in here? Rather than going, hold on, wait, we can talk about triggers. What is being triggered here? And what do I actually really need right now? Hold on, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Versus don't do this, do this. Because all I was doing was creating more rules as I was trying to get out of the rules. It was It's like a timeout. Like, for instance, if you're eating the ice cream, it's such a great example. That's why I keep going back to it. And you're having the old triggers, and the memories are coming up, and, you know, oh, this is going to make me fat. It's just say, hold on, let's stop. What's going on for me right now? Let me take a deep breath first before I move on. And start having different dialogue. You can still dialogue. because obviously you've got some disruption going on and you've got all these different voices, one saying, go ahead and enjoy it, one saying, no, don't. Then you have things from your childhood going, people would look at me because I'm fat, I shouldn't be eating this anyways, is to stop and ask some different questions.
Mm-hmm.
How do I want to feel? What would be the most peaceful way for me to enjoy this? Am I willing to enjoy this now? And being honest, like, you know what? No, I probably will just get on myself, so let me just actually put this away.
Yep.
And start asking different questions from a place of curiosity rather than piling up more rules so that you can start to unravel some of the stuff. A lot of times what we're doing is we're reacting to the reaction. Like, oh, look at me, I'm doing this again. Okay, well, how do I want to deal with that? Rather than, hold on, stop. Let's have some normal, logical dialogue here. Let me see what's really going on. Would you agree, David?
Absolutely, absolutely. The emotional dialogue that comes up for us regarding a lot of aspects of our health, our bodies, the food, all of this, have a large part to do with how our bodies are going to react and our ability to be able to make more changes that serve us and make us feel better. It's very challenging to be at a place where triggers and memories are coming up where it does not hold you in an emotionally strong place, fear, anger, self-loathing, those kind of things, and actually be able to make positive action toward being more of what you want to be. The difference there just cannot happen. So it definitely is about grabbing on and, if you have to, creating emotional structures that can support movement towards something that you do feel better experiencing. Anyone else would like to share something here?
I think I told you that I wanted to record my B so I could hear it in my own voice, just like I did with it when I did 2 weeks before the marathon when you're supposed to taper down your running. I'd do a mental tape to help me get through that and self-talk thing. Well, I didn't make that tape because I couldn't find my tape player, and I found I wasn't reading my daily B for a few days there, and my energy was sort of waning with that. So it's like, oh, my goodness. Instead of just thinking a few thoughts of it before I went to bed and thinking of it when I woke up, to actually read it, recite it, look in the mirror and say it and declare it, that was a turnaround and then very energizing for me, because last week my energy wavered back and forth, and I did listen to that audio interview with Patricia Bish, and I did got her book and CD, and the book has been very enlightening. I want to read it all now, but she says to just take a chapter at a time and digest that. But listening to her tape, she's talked about nature, you know, about the quantum physics of nature, and I'm watching the birds on my bird feeder out here. They've been eating all day long. They're just like hoarding and binging, and not one of those birds are fat. watching nature, so listening, this is like, oh my gosh, the squirrel, he's done all day up in this tree is just like eat, and then eat some more and take a rest and then eat some more. There's a lot in his head about the diet industry and things that I judged my body with. I never realized I was judging myself so much until this course. So, but I did find it wasn't a habit yet, I wasn't tied into it yet, and when I do read that and declare it and own it, then I walk out and the whole rest of my day is very different when I do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's touch on a couple of things here in a moment. Yes, you're right. I mean, I can't imagine too many squirrels are sitting there holding their acorns saying, oh, my God, this is going to make me so fat.
I could have worked out more because I ate that.
Exactly. So you're absolutely right in observing nature and even humans who are in the present moment. And that's about what the topic of our teleseminar today is going to be about. It's about being in the now, being in the present, and enjoying the journey. What you're observing in nature is very much at its purest form, being in the present moment. There is not a past or future that exists in nature. It's just this moment. And in that is its beauty, and in that is its power. And it's wonderful for you to be able to observe that and sort of make the connection about how you can probably invite a little bit more of that into your own experience.
Yeah, right.
One thing I wanted to ask you, and we're going to touch on this a little bit, is in the beginning you mentioned about the challenges of not finding your recorder to do your B, and then you'd actually fallen out of process of doing that. Was it because you needed to do it? Did you feel you needed to do it a certain way?
Kind of there was a little bit of that. There was absolutely right. There was a little bit of that, and I sort of laughed at it. after, or it was, oh my gosh, am I having to make sure that this is just right before I am a tape, I have to have the right tape player and have to have the right words written out. So there was a little going on that I caught myself in.
That's right.
And now, I just put that aside.
Wonderful. That's an important step for everyone to take, is there's nothing that has to be a certain way other than what you determine it to be. So part of being in the enjoying of the journey is just to allow life to, in a way, unfold itself in the process of your creating. There is no specific way or habit or process or thing that has to be done for this to occur, for you to manifest health, for you to manifest the body that you want, other than to simply to hold that in thought and emotion. That, again, is a wonderful aha, and thank you so much for sharing that. Anyone else would like to share something here?
I missed the call. First week I thought, oh, no, call next week. That's cool. I can just do what I like. Which I don't know why I thought that, because you do what you like anyway. But then I realized that was the old way of thinking. Like, you know, I'm going to go on a diet and, oh, I don't have to today because something that would happen. It's the same kind of conditioning in my head. So I put that aside, and I wanted to diet because of the wedding coming up. Because it's my son's wedding, and I'm bigger than I've ever been. And I sort of realized I had to just accept, because this is all mucked up my head thinking now. I couldn't even do that. That was a bit confusing, but then, and I emailed you, and that was really helpful.
Wonderful.
And so then I just thought, well, I guess I've just got to accept where I am at the moment. And I did that, and it's actually been quite good. Being in pasta doesn't help, because it slows me down, and that's the old thinking of like, well, it's going to really put weight on because I'm so slow, and I can't do so much, and... And I think, well, that energy is just not being used, so anything I eat, and so I have to put that aside as well. And I've found that I guess the biggest change has been, you know, that I guess I'm eating different. Because I keep telling myself there's no rules, you know, and anything that comes up is like a rule. And because I've had them for everything in my life, there's always like a rule for everything I do. Like if I go to eat something, it's like, oh, I better watch how much I eat. Oh, if I eat this now, I better not eat later. If I eat too much now... what am I eating? I better not eat this because it's carbos, or this is protein, and this is a long time day. And so I'm just sort of trying to just let all that go. And I guess it has. I've found I'm making on nuts, and I haven't eaten, like, chocolate or stuff. I've actually refused it when I've been offered it. And when we've gone out, I've chosen different. And I just see that my choices, I guess, are mainly, and one night I just dished myself up a really small meal because that's what I felt like. I just had that. But because I stay up till about 1 o'clock, I usually have something later. Somewhere along the line I'll nibble some nuts or some crackers and cheese, which is unusual because normally I'd eat more than that. And I do sort of feel, oh, this is probably bad because it's going to go straight to fat at night. So I just have that. So I guess it's just long-term trip. But the state of it, like myself, I mean, I'm not going, oh, I've got to eat this because it's healthy. I'm not saying that. You know, remember what I said about kissing your shoulder, and Gina reinforced it. And so that helped a few times. I've been out and I've gone, oh, yes, I'm all right. And I kiss my shoulder and go, yeah.
Wonderful.
And someone else wrote that they got in the shower and they said, oh, I've got beautiful skin here. So I go, okay, this is lovely skin here. It's all smooth and not wrinkly, and I'm not getting, you know, like I'm not accepting now that this is all part of age. If I'm going to change the rest, I might as well change the lot.
Sure.
And the only thing, I guess, that comes up with that is that I get straight away and the little thing comes up, oh, yeah, but it's going to take a long time. And Gina said it takes 7 years to change every cell, so you can't expect everything for 7 years. And of course, that's like... you know, down the tubes, you're like you're going down the drain with the water. So I'm surprised at how much you have these other thoughts all the time, but being aware of them, like they just come. It's amazing how much you think negatively that you think you didn't.
Right.
And they just keep popping up with in the most, you know, to delay you or to yeah, to just put it off or, I don't know, sabotage you in some way or make you not get where you want to go. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
I do. Let me ask you this, and this is actually for everyone on the call, and this is one of the challenges of manifesting, and I'm actually posing this to you based on, you know, what you were asking here. It is a challenge. It's not impossible, but it is a challenge for you to emotionally feel and manifest something that you've either never had or experienced or have rarely experienced. It is a challenge. And it's easier to fall into a habit of stating what is. You know, and with it, all of the background and all of the issues that are at the crux of what you're actually trying to change. So is it that you find yourself having a challenge in connecting with what you wish to create? Is that part of what's happening for you? I mean, can you even imagine yourself where you want your bee to be?
I can imagine the trim of me because I was there about 2 years ago. I can't imagine how I put that much on that time.
Okay.
And especially the last 6 months is when most of it went on.
Right.
So, but then I was under such very, very strict regime to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my whole life was really controlled by that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't really want that back again.
Okay.
Because over 34 years,
mm-hmm.
I've always believed there was a freedom in it,
mm-hmm.
But never found it. So, you know, I thought I had it. I guess about 2 years ago, I thought I'd got on top of that.
Okay.
But I think it's just the skin part.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably another reason why I put so much back. I'm like, when I was trim, mm-hmm. I couldn't, although I thought my image could accept that I was thin, I didn't really accept myself.
Right.
Because I always made comments about, you know, because even with my family, I'd always make comments about, oh, well, you know, I'm so big. And, I mean, I wasn't big. But and I'd get surprised if people said, no, well, you know, I still took people and I'm still getting them, and oh, yeah, right.
mm-hmm.
And then I thought, well, it's so, like I've either got to accept one thing or the other. I've either got to accept that
mm-hmm.
my body is trim and then my skin
mm-hmm.
goes haywire
mm-hmm.
and, you know, sort of goes all haywire. Or I've got to, if I'm plumper, then I have better skin, but it hasn't come back like that. Obviously, because I'm older now, so you know I think, oh, so now I've got both.
Mm.
And the other thing that really handicaps me, I guess, is that my husband prefers me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he was, yeah. So was it a big issue in our
family? Okay. I want to pause for a moment here because this is definitely going to be something I'm going to start with, and that is the process of being in your now, but being in a different emotional state with regards to it. Because I think what's happening is, and this happens for a lot of folks, is when we get into our current present moment, with it comes all of the other stuff. And that other stuff is creating tension and creating fear and anger and all sorts of things that's frustrating our ability to manifest something differently. So we're going to touch on this in a moment. Before I do, though, and this is for everyone else also on this call, I want you to also take a moment here and in gratitude compliment yourself. You did some things, you mentioned some wonderful things that you accomplished these past few weeks that actually put you in good flow toward what you wish to manifest. You know, this is not about perfection. This is also about recognizing what you've done well and what you feel good about. I heard some good choices that you made there, and it sounds like you felt good about them. Take a moment and kiss your shoulder or pat yourself on the back or whatever you'd like to do because, you know, in all seriousness, hats off to you. You've done well. You've done well. Tell me a little bit about, tell all of us actually a little bit about the last couple of weeks.
Okay, I did listen to the Patricia Bish interview and got the book and the CD, so I did do that the last couple of weeks. But I think the biggest thing for me, even kind of dovetailing with Daryl, is just being amazingly aware of all the messages that I bring up myself and also all the messages that come at me that I wasn't recognizing before. As an example, I was doing a workout video, and on there she said, if you want results, you have to work hard.
Mm-hmm.
And before I would have just, yes, that's the only way I'm going to get results. And all of a sudden it's like, well, maybe for you, but not me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just start listening to this stuff. We were out with friends and they bring the dessert cart around and somebody said, wow, just looking at that, I can feel myself gain weight.
Wow.
You know, but I mean, before I would hear these things and just grab onto them,
mm-hmm.
and not even realize that that's what I was doing. So I think the biggest thing for me this last couple of weeks is just really being aware of what's going on in my mind and the thoughts that are coming up and also the stuff that's coming at me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it was Karen that mentioned, you know, the whole diet industry. I mean, having worked in that myself, I mean, this is their boom time. So the commercials are just coming fast and furious right now. And as I emailed, you know, you early on, it's very easy to try to fall back into that doing mode.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I do this or don't do this, if I eat this or don't eat this, if I exercise this way or don't do the, you know, the carbs and the protein and should I be eating this and all of that, it's so easy to fall back into that. And so I've just let it slide off and keep doing what I'm doing. And then yesterday we were walking in an art fair, and what I noticed for one of the very first times is I noticed all the thin, beautiful people and not the overweight people.
Mm-hmm.
It was like they were just coming at me in every direction.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, like I said, the awareness has been the biggest thing for me these last couple of weeks.
You mentioned something, and let's talk about this because it has to do with how things manifest, and that is things manifest after our thoughts, after our thinking, not before. And when you have set the intention for something to manifest in your life, in your experience for yourself, the universe immediately responds, and all of a sudden you start seeing examples of it all around you. So as you are setting an example or an intention to manifest a leaner, thinner body, of course, absolutely, you're going to see all sorts of thin people around you. Now, the important process or the important thing here is what happens next. Do you use that in a way to compare yourself and to judge yourself and start feeling bad about yourself because of where you're at right now in comparison to that? Or do you use that as an example to say, there it is. See, it's coming to me. These are my examples of what I'm trying to manifest. And even though I may not see it yet in my own body, it's all around me. It's coming at me. That's an important process of being able to be thankful or in gratitude for what you observe around you when it is something that perhaps somebody else has that you wish to also experience. So for a moment here, let's go back to that experience of when you're seeing all these wonderful examples of all these thin people all around you. And it sounds like you're there, which is great news to hear. But what were some of the things that were going through your mind when you were seeing those folks?
This was my practice. Every time I saw one come at me and I'd look at it and it's like, thank you, God, that's my reality.
Perfect.
Just continued on. Didn't dwell on one or the other. It was just, thank you, God, that's my reality.
Mm-hmm.
And went on and looked at the next art booth.
Mm-hmm. That's so wonderful.
So it's getting there.
It is. And, oh, go ahead.
I think it was a little bit more difficult when I saw some friends the other evening and I could see myself just a little bit. It was easier to do it with a stranger than it was with close friends.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to catch myself and, you know, really watch where my thoughts were going when I saw friends that I started to feel jealous because they had done so well.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to catch it. It was easier with complete strangers.
Okay. That's an interesting little aha, and we're going to touch on that again. Yeah, that is. We're going to touch on that in a second here. Why don't you share with us a little bit about your past week or two?
Great. Okay. Thank you. It's good to be with all you guys. Wow, the last couple of weeks, it's so funny because I was so jazzed. I started about 5 weeks ago drinking this alkaline water, and in the first 3.5 weeks, I lost 5 pounds and 5% body fat.
Woo.
And I was so excited. I didn't change anything that I did other than drinking this alkaline ionized water. And I was just so excited because it was like I never had a concept before that I could just drink water and my body would shift.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was, for that, I was just all thrilled with that. And it was so funny because in the last probably 10 days, kind of like that initial impetus stopped. And I found my thinking going back to, oh, I wonder what's happening. I wonder what's going on. I wonder why this is not continuing, and feeling disappointed. And it was interesting because one of my, you know, we were talking before about labels. What labels do we put on ourselves? And I realized when I was out to dinner twice in this last, you know, 10 days, somebody came up and they said, you know, would you like some wine? And I said, yes. And I wasn't familiar with the glasses on the wine list. And so I said, yeah, I'd like a wine like me, soft and full bodied. And I thought, isn't that hilarious? And I was just like, and that is how I like my wine, truly, good, fine red wine. And then I made another comment about, you know, I'm like wine, I could just get better with age.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny because that one was more, kind of more positive, but it was still speaking about the age.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a little bit of a backhanded hook, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the soft and full-bodied one was, I mean, that is not my bod B. Bod B is not soft and full-bodied. Bod B is just happy and trim and, you know, healthy, not skinny trim, but just, you know, good and healthy for my body. And it's so interesting because I've probably been using that description of me for, I would say, at least over the last, I'm almost 50,
mm-hmm.
at least for the last 5 years.
Mm.
Probably a bit more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, look at that. I mean, a label that gets a laugh out of people.
Mm-hmm.
But at the sacrifice of me.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I'm not willing to do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not willing to be the butt of my own joke.
Mm.
And so that was something that kind of came up was, wow, just noticing other places where I kind of do that or other times when, you know, even the simple things like, you know, looking in the closet and saying, oh, man, I'm heading out tonight. I don't really want to wear those pants because they just don't quite fit right. And having to turn it around and say, no, I got plenty of stuff in here that I can wear, loving the person that I am right now. This is cute. That's cute. And just kind of being so much more aware of shifting my mindset. But definitely the soft and full body thing was just like, I was like, wow, am I polished?
Mm-hmm.
When I jam myself, you know, I was just like, it was a good test.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very good test. So anyway, so that was exciting and powerful. I'm there. I've got the body that I want. And the kiss the shoulder thing, I shared that with my cousin who I'm actually in LA right now. We're doing a job together, a consulting job together. And so I shared that with her. So all day today, we're kind of going by each other once in a while going, okay, did you do the shoulder kiss? Like, yeah, baby. So anyway, it's just been a really neat process. And I haven't listened to the Patricia Bish program yet, but now you guys have even inspired me more to get on. I downloaded it this morning, but to get on there and really start listening to that. So this has been really great. Thank you, David.
Oh,
I appreciate
you're
it.
Welcome. Thank you all, too. And listen, seriously, all of you are doing wonderful. You know, let's talk about this now. I'm going to kind of switch the order a little bit. Part of what we were going to talk about today is enjoying the journey. That's exactly what this is. This is a process. This is a journey. This is not a get there and hold on forever. We're constantly changing our bodies, what we wish to manifest, what we wish to create, what we wish to have. It's always aspiring to something better. So it's important that as you are experiencing these things, these little insidious little labels that kind of creep up every once in a while and the feelings of jealousy or anger or all these like old stuff that you thought you had all taken care of, you know, every so often they might just pop up again. And not only that, but the very things that you have sat down and decided to create for yourself right now is based on where you're at right now at this present moment. That's going to change. That's going to develop. As you get closer to your be, you're going to find you actually might find yourself aspiring to something even better, something even healthier, something even younger, toner, thinner. It's a process. And it's important to allow yourself that understanding because it takes off a lot of pressure. It takes off a lot of pressure and expectation that this all has to be perfect, that there has to be rules and processes to follow, that there's one way and you're not following it. The way is what you decide it to be. And just as we've talked about before on these calls before, this isn't a light switch where you just kind of flick it on and never have to worry about it again and everything happens instantaneously. we're not in an environment where, luckily, we have instant manifestation. Thank goodness. Can you imagine what we'd create if we did? If we immediately manifested what we thought about? My gosh, it would be very interesting. We put ourselves in an environment where we do have a span of time between that which we wish to have and that where we currently are. And that period of time can be short. Absolutely. We can create very quickly. We can also create without struggle, without pain, without suffering. So how we create is also within our control. But it also is not instantaneous. And there is a process that we flow through. And it's sometimes discouraging or hard to stay in process without feeling some of this old stuff coming up because we haven't seen it happen yet. And when we see other people having things that which we wish to experience, or especially when it's people that we know and we think, yeah, I know them. How in the world could they have it and I don't? that these are honest feelings. These are honest thoughts. And let's for a moment shift to an idea here. When we are trying to be in the present moment, use the term of Eckhart, this present moment is where our power is. It isn't in the past, and it is not in some imagined future. Your ability to have, to create, and how you create is literally in this moment, and it can be anything. You all are literally artists sitting in front of a blank canvas, and you can have it any way you want. You can paint whatever you want. You can use whatever you want to paint. You can choose the brushes. You can choose the strokes. You can choose however you want your painting or your experience to be. Your presence is in this moment. Your power is now. But with that also comes the understanding that your now is a certain way. Your now is an expression of what you've created thus far. And it's a challenging moment to be where you're at right now without all the baggage and the anger and the judgment and the fear and all the other stuff that got you to this point. And one of the things that Gina and I were going to talk with you is the importance about recognizing where you're at right now, but doing so from a point of neutrality and a point of being at peace. Almost like you're just simply taking like little tick notes, little notes of just noting things, but doing so almost in the third person, almost as an observer. That's an important thing to understand and be in, that ability to be neutral with where you're at rather than judging. Because the moment you start wondering about regretting the past or fearing the future, you're frustrating the energy and the ability to manifest what you desire. And by concentrating or experiencing those other feelings and those emotions, all you can do is attract more of the same. So for a moment here, I want everyone to pause, and I'm going to read a little bit of what Gina has wrote. I actually turned it into a small little meditation. So I want everyone to pause for a moment, and if you want, close your eyes. And let me read this to you. This body has served you well under both physical and emotional abuse. It's been your servant. It follows your focus no matter what you think. It's simply obeying your thoughts. Think stressful thoughts and it gives you stressful signals. If you decide to climb a mountain, it will support you both up and down quite easily. But think the journey is hard, and your body will respond with cramps, muscle fatigue, and joint problems. You get to decide how you want to feel about your body. That magnificent body of yours is always transitioned to a new place. What if you were more excited about where it was headed? You are in control of that, and you must make a solid decision about the health you desire, and it will be so. It's law. So have you made a decision to be a good friend to your body? Have you made the decision to have more peace in your life? Have you decided that you are worthy of a body that feels and looks great? Have you decided to let go of all the negative labels that refers to you or your body and who you are? Have you decided to let go of the physical pains and symptoms? If you had the power to create an unhealthy body, you have the power to completely reverse it. Now that part is where it's exciting. So I want you to all take a moment here and think about those words. Those are important things to think about when you're imagining yourself where you're at right now. Those words are more powerful than, oh, look at all the mistakes I made, and, you know, I should have done this, and look at where I'm at now. Jeez. You know, those are not very empowering thoughts. Those are not very empowering feelings, and that's not really a powerful place of which to create something different. But instead, if you look at yourself and saying, yes, this is me, this is where I'm at right now, and that's okay. You know, again, start becoming a friend to your body. Start becoming a friend of your experience. We were talking about being in appreciation of the people around us and the observation of that which manifests. But are we really, truly being in appreciation of ourselves? You know, those are important steps to make. When you get to that point, and you can do that frequently, not perfectly, but when you can do that frequently, you're going to find all sorts of wonderful things manifest in your experience. So let's take a moment here, and does anyone have any thoughts to share so far?
I just went a week and a half ago, I went to the Abraham program here in San Diego.
Wonderful.
On August 23rd.
Yeah.
And one of the things, too, that I've been doing about my body in light of what you were just sharing in that meditation was asking the question, when I have a thought about my body that's less than excellent or about my eating habits or whatever else I think Daryl's saying, you know, but, you know, judging eating habits or whatever, I just ask myself the question, what would my inner being say about this?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like all of a sudden it kind of clears it up for me, just thinking, oh, well, wait a minute, my inner being wouldn't judge me for this, no different than if I step outside myself and look at myself as one of my best friends, you know, would I judge my best friend about her, you know, where she is right now? Or will I, you know, support her lovingly mm-hmm. to hold her vision of what her be place is?
Mm-hmm.
And I know exactly what I would do as a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I've really started shifting my own thinking to myself when I look at myself in the mirror to say, well, wait a minute, what would my inner being say about the little judgment that just went through my head when I come around a mirror
mm-hmm.
and say, oh, man, it's like, just stopped it right in its tracks. That was a real good thing for me, and I was just reminded of that as you were speaking. So.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Cool.
Wonderful for sharing that. And, you know, that's an important thought for everyone to remember is, while we're friends to other people, it's important for us to be friends to ourselves. And if it does better for you to think of your higher self as your friend and allow that voice to sort of tell you what you yourself are having a little bit of a hiccup perhaps in telling yourself right now, then by all means, do that. But the important step here is we can be friends to others and support them. It's also important to be a friend to ourselves and to allow ourselves those kind words. Thank you for sharing that. Anyone else like to share something?
And I wanted to share the same experience. I forgot about it because we had 2 weeks between calls. But the weekend before, I stayed in the city at my brother's, and there were all these beautiful women all around that were coming towards me, sitting next to me in the elevator. And I was just smile and nod and say in my head, oh, my gosh, she's so gorgeous. And then I would say to myself, oh, yes, I am. You know, whatever I said about her to compliment her in my head, I caught myself just sort of smiling and say, oh, and me too. You know, it was kind of a fun little thing. And so with that, and I think it's been a great realization because I would never want to be considered judgmental of a friend or harsh on a friend. It's like, oh, my gosh, have I been judging myself for a long time? So to just, first of all, realize that and step back and say, hey, this hugging and kissing the shoulders is a good thing. And it's helping my golf game because I'm hitting the ball even longer when I do that. and I just really had fun. Yes, just a really quick short story yesterday with this golf thing. I told you about the tight pants and the looser pants. Well, I wore the tighter pants. I brought that with anyway. The pants, whatever shorts I had on, The zipper doesn't stay up, and I was running the event, so I forgot to change them, and on the first hole I bent over, and the button snapped off. So here the zipper doesn't stay off, and the button snapped off, and I'm with these two guys that I really don't know very well. And it was so much fun because I thought, well, I'll just pull them up, untuck my shirt, nobody will know. But the second hole, when I kissed both shoulders, when I drove the ball, my shorts almost fell off. But we're far, it's an interesting course that you're way, you get further and further away from the clubhouse. So I just found, you know, my towel clip and put it on. But I was so comfortable in me, and I was so, I just like laid back on it. It's like, well, let me just adjust my pants here. Dave, nobody's tried to get in my pants on the first hole, but thank you. And I just totally had fun. I didn't care. You know, it's like, you know, my belly is kind of flat. And I really felt good with my body, and I didn't care that that happened and they could see my underwear. And it was just like, it was so fun. And it started out, you know, it was just like, it was a great round. I don't drink or anything like that, but it was just like, it was very fun. I was laughing a lot, and it was more like a childlike thing, you know, coming from that inner child, I guess, sort of,
yeah.
Where, you know, by allowing myself to nurture myself and be really, really okay with myself and know that I'm in transition to the best body of my life. And I was bombarded by these beautiful women, and it was so great that to hear that you experienced that, too.
That's the Queen Latifah attitude, baby.
Yeah, that is an awesome story. And everybody listening to this, that's important to remember. Manifesting can be hard. It could be challenging. It could feel like work, or it could feel like play. Again, we get to not only choose what we're creating, we also get to create how we're creating. And I think that's a wonderful story because that's really the optimum. Being at play with us, just having some fun. That's the best way to be in process and enjoying the journey. That's because that's exactly what it is. That's the only way to be.
It feels like it goes quicker when I enjoy it like that.
Absolutely, because again, you're at a higher level of energy. You're at a different state emotionally, so of course you're going to attract more of the same. You're going to attract more higher energy things and experiences and things for your body as well. So absolutely, you are creating faster when you are able to be.
I might have a date with this guy too.
So, see, it all works out. I think that was in your pee too, wasn't it? And, yeah, that's the other thing. Remember, it's not going to follow any particular rules. You're going to find it manifest the way it wants to manifest. So those are all wonderful experiences. Let's continue on with a little bit about being in process with this and enjoying the journey. That's exactly what this is. We are in an environment where we get to play. We can think of it like that. I mean, yes, we have all this stuff and all this emotion and all these pain and all these issues that got us to this point. We don't have to drag them along with us from here. We can let it go. And it may or may not be easy, but it can be done. And I think it's an important step to start playing with. Literally start putting yourself just as a child where we would literally imagine play. We would literally kind of create environments and make up rules and just have some fun with it. Our lives and our experiences could be just like that because we really are. I mean, we may not recognize it from a manifesting standpoint. This is play. We are determining how and how fast and how much fun and how pleasantly our lives are unfolding before us. And so just as about how much kind of fun that experience was for her, being in that higher level of energy is attracting her desires to her much more quickly than being at a point of, oh my gosh, can't believe this is happening to me. Oh gosh, you know, embarrassment or whatever the labels you want to apply to it. She took a completely different tact, and because of that moment, she's attracting completely differently. Not only that, but remember, you are now attracting at a completely different level. So your thoughts, your desires, what you wish to manifest also increase. So this is not just a matter of picking a point and wishing to be something specific as it is a process that's going to be constant play. It's going to be constantly creative. Our lives are constantly unfolding. So it's important to not only be at peace with where you're at right now, but enjoy the journey. Have some fun with it. and hold those higher levels of energy, those higher thoughts, those higher feelings, and absolutely, your manifesting and your desires will happen so much easier and so much faster. So toward the end of this, let's take a couple moments and run through a little explorations here. So I'm going to pose a question to you, and then I'm going to kind of turn it around to everyone and get a kind of short idea from you about what this means to you. But part of this is also going to be your homework for the next call or to think about for the next week. So here it is. Think of yourself as the new you, that which at this point you decided you wish to attract. How do you imagine yourself thinking in that state? What are you feeling? What types of things are you doing? So let's take a moment here, and again, let's go around and go back again to your B statements, and now put yourself in that role, almost like an actor, actress, if you want to see play pretend here, if it's hard for you to grasp, or if you're at a place where you can actually really hold and take ownership of this. Let's hear about what that feels like. What thoughts are coming to you? What are you doing?
I think the first thing that came up for me as far as feeling is the word relax.
Mm-hmm.
Is that I'm just feeling very at ease and very relaxed with how I go through everything, thinking about what I'm going to wear, what I'm going to eat, how I go through my day, that I just want it to feel very relaxed, easy, and not encumbered.
Mm-hmm.
Right now there's too much thinking
mm-hmm.
in how I go about my day. And the same thing with doing, just doing things as it comes up and not having to worry that we're going to do X on Friday and, oh my gosh, what am I going to wear? How am I going to feel? That everything is just more relaxed, at ease, and doing it as it comes up.
Wonderful. Here's a thought for you to think about.
Okay.
Since that was the first word that came up, and it was pretty much universal across that entire question, let me pose this thought to you. Perhaps that is the emotion or that's the feeling that you should endeavor to experience right now, being relaxed, to attract. Is this making sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm relaxing into my perfect weight.
Mm-hmm.
And I just try to work with that word because it does really seem to resonate for me.
Absolutely. That's part of why we're doing this exercise, to see what resonates with you, because from that is the states and the words to use now to help you manifest. So absolutely, what I'm hearing is relaxed for you is your power. Wonderful.
Great.
Wonderful.
Thank
you. You're welcome. Anyone else would like to share something here?
You know, I think at first I was writing down thinking, feeling, doing, and my first thinking word was happy.
Mm-hmm.
Happy feeling energized and doing what I want, but also came back with I think a big circle around all that was to trust, where you were just saying to relax into the perfect weight. I think for me the word that came up, and that's even, I just relate a lot to the golf game. Same with the golf, when I just trust that swing. So I think that's a big word for me right now.
Mm-hmm.
Trust that it's on its way.
Trust and trust yourself?
Yes, I think trusting myself is a big thing. I mean, a big step, a big aha that has been for these past 2 weeks, because I think I thought I was the saboteur, you know, in the past maybe. But just trust that as I am being this and enjoying the journey and focusing on the want and being neutral with where the A is, you know, not having guilt or anger energy with that, I think trust in that process as well.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And so in your case, for right now, that's probably your best emotional feeling state to be, to manifest quickly, is that feeling. So that's wonderful. That's a great thought to share as well. Anyone else would like to share something here?
I guess a couple of things came up for me was, you know, I think about how do I feel when I have my when I'm at my B point.
Mm-hmm.
And the word that kind of came to me was easy. It's just easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like my body just works. It does the things I want it to do. It feels good. It feels energetic. It feels like responsive, maybe. It just feels right. It doesn't feel off. It feels like it just feels easy. Like everything's working. Everything's flowing. It's just
effortless. See, effortless. Wonderful.
Yeah, effortless. Yeah. There's the word. It's just, it's effortless. I have a lot of appreciation for it, but not appreciation in the, Abraham once made a distinction about the difference between gratitude and appreciation,
mm-hmm.
and it was truly having the energy of appreciation for it, and also just a knowing that when I ask my body to do something, it's going to respond, and it's going to respond the way I want, and that's it. Whether it's playing golf or taking a hike or climbing the mountain, it doesn't really matter what it is. It's just going to function, and it'll feel good, and I can be just easy about it, effortless about it, not make a big deal about it one way or the other.
Wonderful. Well, so let's, for a quick moment again, just go back to the easy and effortless. And again, those are your power words. Those are your power emotions to hold when you're manifesting. This process, is, and I think what you all are seeing here is each of you have something different. Now, you may say, you may see that value in what the other person is saying, but for you, it's a different process. It's a different emotion. That's all important things to understand, because this is what is important for you. This is how you are going to manifest. You're the artist. So all of these things that you've described, each of you, think about your word. Think about your emotion. And when you are sitting and you're reviewing your B statements and you're reading them out loud, or you're reading them to yourselves, or you're seeing yourself in the mirror, or emotionally or mentally holding what you wish to bring to you, what you wish to manifest, those words, those emotions are the state you should be in, or we should feel value in, to make it all happen so much easier and so much faster. All right. Wonderful. All of you, fantastic job. Now, I've got one more thing to walk each of you through, and this is going to be sort of for your little project for this week. I'm going to give you three questions. And again, it's to start shifting you. You've all done wonderful with this, by the way, but to shift you even more strongly toward what you are desiring and letting go of all that old past and all that old baggage. So these are the three things I want you all to think about. What is, bear with me, I'm going to use Gina's terminology here, so this is going to sound a little foreign coming from me, but bear with me here. What is fabulous about your body currently?
You would say wonderful.
I would say wonderful. Okay. Let's say fabulous is a stronger word, so I looked at this and I said, I'm going to pose it to him just the way Gina would want, so that's important. What is fabulous? What is wonderful about your body currently? Okay. What is fabulous and wonderful about your life? And what is fabulous and wonderful about who you are? Okay. All three of those questions are very powerful questions, and they're beautiful questions. So take some time, think about that. And start thinking also about how often you're thinking of yourself in these ways.
Fabulous and wonderful.
That's right. You know, how often are you really doing that? Now, you're all doing it more and more. You know, I'm hearing that from each of you. It is, you definitely have made remarkable progress over these four calls so far. You've all done a lot of work even prior to this. It's a process. You've done wonderful. These three questions are important and powerful places to be, because they place you in appreciation of yourself. It puts you in a place where you now are becoming your own friend. And with those feelings and those emotions, now all these things, that trust, that relaxation, the laughter, the fun, the ease, all of those things come so much easier and feel so much more real. It won't feel like you're playing pretend anymore.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So where would you like to go to next, David?
Well, I think one of the things that you and I had a chance to talk about yesterday, Gina, timely thing to talk about here, especially for some folks coming in and listening to this later, is when you are looking at your body right now, our tendencies to break it apart. Look at our arms, look at our bellies, look at our hips, look at bits and pieces of ourselves. And I think you alluded to in an earlier call about your growing up, about your nose, if you remember. you're talking about how your thoughts and your beliefs regarding your nose. And being Italian myself, I can speak with some experience regards to that. But how we have a tendency to, when we're talking about physical, you know, and body acceptance, actually accepting yourself, we're not kind of saying, okay, kind of accept all these wonderful things about yourself and some of these other things. We're talking about yourself in totality. And I think that might be something to kind of reiterate a little bit on this. What do you think, Gina?
Yeah. You know, and there's also when you were talking, all I kept giving is this other metaphor that I talk about in other classes, which is, you know, you've just hired a new housekeeper and you've asked them to come in and they've done this wonderful job, and boy, literally the house looks cleaner than it's ever looked. But what's happened is, as soon as you walk in, you see that they broke something, and all you can focus on is the fact that they broke something. You can't even see the rest of the house. I mean, it looks gorgeous. It's the best job you've ever had done. In fact, you've never done it that clean yourself in your whole life, and you're a master cleaner. But what we tend to do is focus on that one thing that's wrong. And we miss that the whole being is working perfectly. And if we would get our attention on what's working sometimes rather than the piece that's not working, that other piece would come back into alignment on its own. For instance, when I had the poison oak, once I had the shift in my thinking, I could literally see it shriveling up the next morning. My face, the swelling had gone down. And, you know, my skin was just drying up at this rapid rate. My skin looked like a raisin, but I was so grateful that it was drying up. But what I did notice is that my swelling didn't go down in my leg, and I still couldn't hardly walk. And that was getting all of my attention. And I thought, wait a minute, I'm getting upset at this foot. I'm letting it get me down about my entire body versus look at the progress that's being made here on the rest of my body. I tended to focus on that one thing that wasn't working. And therefore, I'm quite sure that I caused it to go on for much longer, the swelling to go on much longer than it needed to. Just wanted to add that in, because as you were talking, I thought, oh, sometimes we don't even, not only do we not only focus on the whole body, we tend to focus on just that one thing. And then it gives us this delusion about our whole body. The same way I was feeling earlier in my pregnancy, which was, I didn't look pregnant. I looked like I was just gaining weight. And so it made me feel frumpy overall, because all I was focusing on was that little bulge. I didn't focus on the rest of me. What was capturing my attention was the one thing that wasn't working well. And then I let it take over my entire emotional state. Not really helpful. Not the way that we'd like you to look at your bodies. And it's good when you can course correct and go, oh, yeah, wait a minute. What else is going on? So actually, with this gratitude, when we talk about, you know, an appreciation journal or a gratitude journal each day with at least 5 things about your body, because we tend to forget that this magnificent machine is working so well. If we would just stand back a little bit so we can see the whole picture. It's like just take your hand right now and stick it in front of your eyeballs about 2 inches away. I mean, it's blurry. You can't see good. It's all you see is flesh. But then when you pull it away, you can see all the details and the working parts, and it's much more clear. And it's not only how we have to view our body, it's literally the way our body works. Right, David? It's all in unison.
Absolutely. One cannot exist outside of the other, at least not for very long, and it's certainly not easily. You know, it's funny. We started the call with thinking about rules, and I do have one rule, I think. I hope it's a well-served one. If I'm with a client and they suddenly say, you know, I don't like my fill-in-the-blank, back of my arms, whatever, my stomach, I say, quick, find something you do like. just try to just stop that, just kind of interrupt that thought process and that emotion. Again, it's just like building a muscle. It takes some time to do this. Some can do it instantaneously. It doesn't have to actually. It doesn't have to take any time. But allow yourself the opportunity to be in process with that.
If we just did that alone, what you just said, David, if people just practiced that one exercise, it would change everything about their health condition.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, your body would responding so favorably to you constantly just with what you're doing is you're retraining the way that you think, and you're having new default. My default is, oh, if I catch myself nagging my body, I just start focusing on what's working well.
Mm-hmm. Talk about how it reinforces and how it works. I remember I had a client, this was a few months back, and she literally, she was talking about, she started into her frustration about trying to lose some of the fat on the back of her arms, how she just hate, you know, the old story, how she hated the back of her arms, and how it wobbled when she waved, and all these other things. And she started, there was one moment, and she literally, you could just see the tears welling up in her eyes. She goes, oh, I hate the back of my arm. And I said, stop. Find something you liked. Find something you like. And she literally said, and she held up her hand. She goes, I just got my nails done. I like that. And all of a sudden, she started laughing. Where one moment, 1 second before she was about to cry, all of a sudden now, she was actually just about giggling over liking her nails. Trust me, she was in a much better emotional state to affect change at that point than she had been just prior.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So we haven't talked about science of mental rehearsal yet, have we?
A little bit, but I'll go back to it for a moment, talking about the neuroplasticity and sort of how things get wired up. When, use this as an example, when you're small and you've never walked before, the ability for your brain to fire the right muscles and balance you and all these things hasn't really been created yet. So, of course, the first time, you know, your parents work with you to try to help you walk, you don't do it immediately. You fall. But inside your head, you're literally your body, your brain, your mind, the chemistry, everything is starting to build those neural pathways to help make your legs work right, to help you stand up properly, to help you move your arms properly, all these things. So each time you do that builds those bonds stronger. And then all of a sudden, they're strong enough to all of a sudden everything fires right, and then all of a sudden, voila, you're walking. Well, this works with everything that we learn, both physically, learning to drive a car, ride a bike, learn to walk, all those physical actions, as well as emotional actions. And that is one of the things that we're talking about here specifically, is these emotional thoughts and habits that you have developed over a lifetime up to this point have the same pathways and the same wiring as anything with regards to, let's say, riding a bike or walking. And as such, literally, especially if it's been for a long period of time or it's been repetitive, are very strong. And understand globally, one aspect that I think a lot of people don't realize is that our bodies are built to survive. They are going to do everything possible to survive. And the brain and your body work together to maintain a balance. Any time a thought, an emotion, or an action starts that perhaps changes that balance, it could be nothing more than a goal. Okay, let's say you put a goal of, let's say, you want to lose a certain amount of weight, or you imagine yourself at this ideal weight, but it's different than where you are right now. All of a sudden, what ends up happening is with all the wiring and all the chemistry going on in your mind, it literally kicks up that midbrain area that we talked about in the previous week and literally starts a survival mechanism where you almost feel emotionally that you are fleeing away from that level of discomfort that comes up with the creation of that goal, and you seek balance again. You seek that comfort zone again. One of the things that is important to remember when we talk about being okay with where you're at now and being okay while you're in transition is to understand that potentially that while you're in transition, it may feel a little uncomfortable at first. Emotionally, you may feel a little uncertain. You may not feel totally comfortable with the process. And the natural inclination will be, especially because the brain has wired itself to support the old habits and the old emotions and the old thoughts, is to go back to that without allowing yourself enough opportunity to create those new neural pathways that support more supportive emotions or more supportive actions or more true to what you would like to create now. And the important aspect is just to understand that this is what's occurring and to be okay with that and to allow that to occur, but have patience with yourself to create those new neural pathways.
If, David, if someone asked you, okay, David, you can only come up with, you only get this one opportunity to tell the world mm-hmm. about one exercise, and I don't mean physical exercise, I mean mm-hmm. mental exercise, or a way of thinking or perspective around a health issue that will actually help them create these new ways of thinking without all this other past triggers getting in the way, what would be like the one thing that someone could practice that would help them in this journey of transition?
Really, the easiest thing is the one that we just talked about a little bit ago, and that literally is find something you like. Okay. Immediately. Just find something you like. Something about yourself. Something about your way of being. That alone does miracles.
You know, I can attest to this. I know I said it in an earlier call, but it was such a great practice for me when I had I was healing a broken elbow. I'd had surgery, and you know, I couldn't do physical exercise, and I couldn't type. I couldn't do all the things I was not used to doing, and so every day it became my ritual to do body appreciation for a long amount of time, like 10, 15 minutes while I was on a walk. I would just focus on everything, both externally and internally, that I appreciated about my body. Oftentimes, you know, it was just the same thing over and over and over, but I did it every single day. And my doctor literally told me that he just couldn't believe that positive thinking must have had something to do with this. He can't imagine how well my elbow looked on my last appointment. So, and it made me feel great, and it felt proactive. And I know a lot of times with health, we really want to be proactive. What can I do? You know, I have to be, you know, doing these special exercises, and there's foods I can take and pills I can take, and there's all these different actions. We like to be proactive. It's very hard for us to get our mind wrapped around that. We can just relax, and literally our body will start moving into what we want it to do. We'll work. It'll go into perfect health without us trying to, you know, kill ourselves doing it. Literally, it's so funny. And for the sake of health, it's amazing what torture people will put themselves through. You know, pain, eating things they can't stand, taking away things they love. It becomes like, it's literally, when you hear this in the gym all the time, but people take this to heart with every aspect of health, you know, no pain, no gain.
Mm-hmm. A rule.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't, like, and it's a rule that doesn't have, it's not accurate.
It's really about the body appreciation. I just feel like it's so overlooked, and it seems almost so frivolous. Like, yeah, woohoo, yeah, that's nice, and I'll do it. But, you know, really, if I want to see results, I got to do all these other things. Mm-hmm. It's not true, because I guarantee you said something, David, I can't remember the lingo you used. Get yourself in a good place by using the body appreciation. It's like you will have 10 times the result from every effort you take after that point. Mm-hmm. So if you are, you know, focused on eating more healthy, if you're in a good frame of mind, your results will be so much better from doing the body appreciation, because your head will be in the right place.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It can't help but be in the right place. It can't do anything different than the thoughts and the emotions that you're feeding it.
I have a client who I've coached over the years, so I've been able to see the transition, but this is one of these people that did, you know, definitely did all the right things in terms of marketing, really did all the right actions, and yet because her head wasn't in the right place, she got no results, none. And I thought, wow, if I was doing all that she was doing, I'd feel so great about my business. She's just a marketing maven. And then when she started changing the way that she thought, then every little effort that she put forth on marketing reaped these huge results. Huge results. And she stopped taking so many actions. Before, she was pushing through actions because she thought it was definitely an action-oriented journey. So if I do all the right stuff, surely I'll get results. And then when she didn't, she couldn't figure it out. But she had never changed the way that she was thinking. It's the same thing with the body. You know, I've seen many of people who I'm like thinking, boy, they do all the right stuff that you've always heard should work. You know, that, I always see that person walks every day. They eat really healthy. They eat vegetables and fruits, and yet all you hear them complain about. And I have somebody in particular that I'm thinking about, always complaining about. Well, you know, when you get old, Gina, these things start to slide, or, you know, I can't do what I used to do because I'm getting old. And so there's this overriding belief that they're sort of stuck with all these conditions, even though they're taking all these actions. It doesn't matter because they still look the same and they still feel the same. Change your thoughts and change your life. How about that?
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So, David, is there anything you want to make sure we say in closing today?
Beautifully wonderful thought to share there at the end. I think only just to repeat what we just said before, the process of finding something about yourself that you appreciate with a good feeling emotion will work miracles for your body.
And if it feels good, want to request that each of you take one or two small steps this week that would have you be more in alignment with perfect health, whatever that might be, whether it's, hey, I haven't been doing body appreciation, so I'm going to do it, or just clean anything that you can clean up thought-wise or actions that you want to take that you think that will support you in this journey. And sometimes this goes back to, by the way, when we feel that there are action steps, or we have those rules about there's things that we need to do in order to have the body, our body to respond the way that we want, sometimes the path of least resistance will include you doing some of those actions that you, quote, think you should do, because when you don't do them, there's too much resistance. So make sure that you're finding some balance in there with your actions so that you're not feeling like, you know, you're throwing out everything before you're really ready. But if there's anything that you know that you can take, one or two small steps, and maybe for all of you, the thing that comes to mind is, what can you give yourself permission regarding around health? What are some of the rules that you can actually just let go of that would create more permission, more freedom in your body and anything relating to it? All right. Have a fabulous week, everybody.